Surge up. This is Dave Davidson. And I am thinking about the verse from John 14. And it's John 14, 2. It leads up to John 14, 6, where Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. But before Jesus says that, he says, there are many mansions, and I'm going there to prepare a place for you. Now just think about that for a second. Jesus Christ himself, in a way, is being hospitable. Okay, is preparing a mansion, a room, a place for us in heaven. Now we can compare the six-day creation story, and we can kind of line it up with the over 2,000 years Christ has been preparing a place for us. How might that differ in its glory? Think about when you are about to see a loved one, especially when they're coming over to your own home. You're preparing a place for them. I'm talking about the person you love the most, the long-lost college student, the long-lost son or young family with those grandkids coming to your home. You don't just throw out a mattress. Now, I would if it was jaunty, but when you love someone and you long to see them in reunion style, you are preparing a place for them. You are rolling out the red carpet. You are killing the fatted hog, so to speak, okay? And I just want you to think about how Jesus Christ himself would prepare a place for us with all his love, his perfect love for us. We have love for our family members and friends and babies, and in a way that's even imperfect. And think about how much he loves us. Now, when we prepare a place for someone, we actually are still limited by sometimes the resources we have or the time we have to put into maybe making the place they'll be in or the food or the bedroom as nice as we'd like it to be. Jesus Christ is unlimited in his power to prepare a place for us. That alone should be tremendous and significant motivation just for us to be devoted to him, for us to long for him, to long for his appearing. It's a very, very endearing fact to me to think that Jesus is preparing a place for us. And what does he want? What does he want from us? He wants us to believe in him. He wants us to believe that he is the way, the truth, and the life. He's glorified when we have faith in him. We have the reward of faith. Now, in a sense, angels are a lot more less free will, okay? We were given free will as man. And in a sense, in a theological sense, and we're all theologians, if we're even non-believers are, we're just studying God. That's what a theologian is. Could it be? What if angels were actually jealous, if they could be, that they see our lives here on earth, and yet they see the rewards in heaven for our faith, for simply just taking Jesus Christ, banking on who he is? They can see it. They're like, yeah, well, we know he's awesome. You guys don't see it yet, but when you do, you'll know what we're talking about. It's the old I can only imagine metaphor with the song, the movie. Can you imagine Jesus Christ preparing a place for you? Okay? The disciples are asking him this. Again, they didn't have the privilege of watching movies about heaven and red letter Bibles and app tools about the Greek and everything. They were living it within their doubt, within their belief, within their experience. And Jesus says, hey, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. You don't get to go to heaven. Okay? You don't get to go to the Father who is in heaven. I'm the bus. Okay, my dad has said over the years, you can't get to heaven in a trolley pass. I don't know if that was a thing in the 40s or 50s. I'm throwing that out there. There is one way to heaven, Joel Osteen. Okay, according to Jesus Christ. Now, here's the thing. He's either true, he's either right about that or not. You figure that out with him. I'm banking on it. Okay? I mean, either Bitcoin is going to be the great new currency or not. Okay? And so one way we bank, how do we bank? How do we trust Jesus? Well, we put all of our cards. If it was a poker game, we bet it all that Jesus Christ is who he says he is. He's Lord of our life. He's not a lunatic. He's not a liar. He is who he says he is. We're all going to end up saying Jesus Christ is Lord. Philippians 2. If Philippians 2 doesn't move you as a Christian, you possibly have a cold heart, and I prescribe it to you right away. The majesty and awe and splendor of this story in Philippians 2 of Jesus Christ being humbled to come down to from heaven to be obedient on a cross to pay the price for our sins. He is the truth. So if that is the truth, if he is the person of Jesus, the truth, take peace, take up your hope that he is preparing this place for you. There's a verse early in Romans 5 about, you know, hope in Jesus doesn't disappoint. We've all had disappointments in our life. We've all had brokenness. People have let us down. But hope in Jesus doesn't disappoint.